There's nothing like the romance of Samson and Delilah to get you in the mood for Valentine's Day. Or, you know, maybe it fits Family Day weekend better. What if amazing family values it espouses? Be careful of those who know your secrets. Perfect. Excellent. Truthfully, this text is just awful, and while it's inspired such hits as Tom Jones's 1967, My, My, My Delilah. Yeah, awesome. I'm going to leave the singing to Nikki, because it also has inspired awesome oratorio and other pieces that have moved us. And yet, this text is a mess. This story, historically, has been used to favor one group over another, and put down women in particular. Think of the stories of Eve from the book of Genesis, Salome, or Jezebel. There's a constant and painful theme of misogyny that needs naming before we jump any deeper into this story. Because of this history, someone would reject even reading this story because of the pain caused by these words. But I hope that we can separate the history from the story itself. Samson was a Nazarite, a person who made a specific covenant with God. Samson inherited the covenant, the promise, the vow, because his mother made it. As before he was born, she promised the vows to guarantee his birth. He fulfilled the promise. He promised not to drink, to never cut his hair, and to never become ritually impure by either touching a grave or a corpse. Those were the three rules of a Nazarite. This Nazarite, or holy person, was viewed with much respect in ancient Israel because they were taking serious their relationship with God. Unlike priests that had to be of a certain bloodline, anyone who professed their love of God could take the vow to become a Nazarite. Samson's holiness, though, was well met by his arrogance and his toxic masculinity. He's just a jerk. He tore apart a lion at one part. He waged a holy war against the Philistines. He was the worst kind of leader, taking the jawbone of an ass to like kill a whole bunch of people. I could tell you, and I apologize to Les for rubbing his head, it was hard to find details I could share with the kids. He believed he had God's blessing to act that way. And I realize this while looking at this text with modern eyes, but we just can't praise bad behavior. Yet if my slang of this text has caused you to tune out 3 minutes ago, please hear the next little bit, because I think there's hope in redeeming this text. Unlike what most people have done with this story, if you go back to the biblical text, Delilah's the virtuous one. While these renderings from Ralph Milton's Story Bible that Nelson read from are lovely, the story drops an important redeeming point. Yes, she's a Philistine, that is a non-Israelite. They're part of the group that Samson had a beef with. But it's clear in the biblical text where her heart lies. She's convinced by her people with money. That's fine, I'm good with that. Everybody's got to make a buck. But she's convinced to seduce Samson so she can gain knowledge about his strength and weaknesses. Her mission is to take him down. And she goes to him, and do you know the first thing she says? I'm going to take you down. Please tell me what makes your strength so great and how you could be bound so that one could subdue you. She says, I'm here to figure out how to take your strength away. Period, end stop. It might be pillow talk, but she's up front. She's honest. She says, tell me what's special about you so I can take it away. Tell me your secrets so I can share them with others. You need to be stopped because you're a monster and I need to do it. The scene happens a few times. And it's almost comical in the way it plays out. Samson, with his bravado and arrogance, comes up with some lie about how he can be stopped. Delilah shouts, once he's bound up by bowstrings and other things, she shouts, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson!" And they come running in, and he goes, "Hee hee." Yet Samson's pride and arrogance just keep building. And then, and again in the biblical text, not the Ralph Milton, we get the best line, which ensures that I will be sleeping on the couch tonight. Verse 16. Finally, after she had nagged him with her words, day after day, and pestered him, he was tired to death. I say nothing more. But Samson did. Samson told Delilah that his secret was his hair, and so in the night they cut off his hair and his strength disappeared. The story continues, but we all know, and we don't have to be kids to figure this out, that the power wasn't really in his hair. We're not going to get two lines of people, one follically challenged, and one, not so, to figure out which side is stronger. That's not going to happen. It would be hilarious, but it's not going to happen. It's what his hair represented. This connection with God that was supposed to be there because he was a Nazirite. And the minute he lets it slip to Delilah, it's as if his trust shifts from the divine to Delilah. He tells her his secret and puts more into his relationship with her than God. We know this because if you read all of Samson's life, there's no little scene of him praying or making sacrifices to God. God plays a part in Samson's life in terms of protection and strength, but it's not a two-way street. The point of this story is not about losing someone's hair. It's about losing that which gives us strength, losing this connection with God. It happens not because of haircuts or genetics, but because of death or grief, disappointment or failure. It happens sometimes because we do nothing to nurture this relationship with God. It happens because the spiritual practices like going to church or praying or serving, these all take effort, sometimes with little or no feedback from God to feel like they're working. To operate in that vacuum of searching for God is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking enough to rob one of one's strength. Because that mystery of God is both challenge and reward. That's why it's good that we've gone back to these texts from ancient Israel. They speak of God not in a physical sense, but in the powerful, metaphorical, outside the bounds of describing ways. God is the patience and trust of Daniel. God is the courage of Joshua. God is the spirit and creative force of Ezekiel. God is the strength of Samson. God is the untapped potential of all of creation. And it makes us question, from where do you draw your strength? You could do the Sunday school answer and say, God, and get the little gold star. That's great. But what do we do to nurture that relationship? What do we do to deepen our faith when times get rough? If life in God is learning to be the best version of ourselves, as one philosopher said, then how are we living into that potential? Samson's use of his gifts meant the destruction of others, let alone himself. Where do you draw your strength from? And then what do you do with it? Because there's something that keeps the spirit strong amidst the worries of the week. As we talked about with the kids, the presence of God gives us that strength to trust that we're continually evolving into the people that we are meant to be, to the best versions of ourselves. Sure, you might go home after church and look at old pictures of yourself, yearn for the good old days when we were young and strong. But each and every day, I wonder if God looked at Samson's life and thought, maybe this is the day he uses his gifts to bring life instead of take it. Maybe God does the same for us. That God looks at us each day and wonders if this is the day that we use our gifts to bring strength for others. For those experiencing injustice. Are we using our gifts to share hope with the hopeless or a meal with the hungry? We may not be Nazarites by biblical standards. But each and every day we renew our own vows which deepen us in this relationship with God. At the very least, it calls us to a greater awareness of God's presence in and through us. And so I pray, may God keep your spirit strong. No matter what blessings people perceive from the outside. May God enable you to be the best version of yourself as you live into the hope that God has for you. And as the book of Numbers says, may God bless you and keep you, shine on you and be gracious to you. May God give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.